more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him. The first thing that we sometimes struggle with is verse 11. If you then who are evil, oh, but I'm not evil, you know. So how can this really be, you know, how much weight can I lend to this part of Scripture? Certainly some parts of Scripture kind of carry more weight. It's all true, but some kind of carry more weight and in context is more meaning for me and so on. And maybe this, you know, maybe the Lord is talking to someone else here. You, that you is maybe not me, it's maybe some other you, but yes, it is you and it is me. We are evil. Compared to God, we are evil. Without God's grace, take God out of your life, every experience you've had with God, everything, and you are depraved and evil without the touch of God in your life and his impact that he's had in your life. Okay, we are evil. God is good. As an earthly father, an evil father, I know how to give good gifts to my children. I've already bought my son's birthday present for next month. I bought it like a month ago already. Because if I see something that I know he's going to be excited about, it's very difficult for me not to buy it if I have the means. And so I've bought his birthday present already. It's really awesome. I'm going to enjoy playing with him with it. And it's going to be great. And I'm also going on outreach at the end of this month. And I'm getting back at like midnight. And when my son wakes up the next morning, on his birthday, I'm going to be there at home. I'm getting back the night while he's sleeping. And so I hope that that's going to be an even better present for him. But I'm just excited to see his face also when he unwraps the present. You know, I'm going to give it to him. And I know God is the same. You know, he loves if we get excited about him and so on. We mustn't just be able to get excited about our, you know, our football teams and these kind of things. If you, God has given us emotions and he actually would love us to expend it on him. Good and bad. You know, God is not intimidated. He can handle your tears and your temper tantrums and your pity parties and your, you know, bursts of anger. He can handle that thing, you know. You can take it to him. If you're going to take it anywhere, if you're going to take it out on anyone, he'd rather you take it out on him than on your wife, your family, or friends, or whoever. Go to God with that. But I know what excites him more is when we get excited about him. And when our tears are tears of joy and these kind of things, you know, God loves that. And so we mustn't be so reserved. We have liberty. We can be free with the Lord. Jesus came to set us free, to give us life. How do you know when something's living? It's moving. It's moving around. There's activity there. There's a pulse. And sometimes, as believers, we can be a bit gefrek, isn't it? I mean, I'm just being honest here. I'm talking about myself as well. Sometimes we can be so reserved and whatever and politically correct. You know, it's just, you know, what will people think? What do they say? Political correctness is the subtle art of almost saying something. Okay, so let us break out of that mold and let us get excited about God. Let us start becoming a bit more animated when it comes to God. God looks down at us. I mean, we read about David singing and dancing and leading a whole band and troop of musicians into the city. And, oh man, the Lord loves that. He said, now that's a man. He gets me excited. He's a man after my own heart. Yeah, so, I mean, against that standard, we all have some way to go. Okay, and I mean, this is awesome. This band, and I don't know what that instrument is right there, but it's helping, okay, and it'll get us there. So let's get excited with them, you know. I know they're not the only worshipers in this church. We've been called to worship and get excited about the Lord. Okay, so where was I? So I know how to give a good gift to my child. I don't know, yeah, I mean, praise God that we're not giving our children snakes. Some people have snakes as pets. Someone probably has given their child a snake after their child asked them for a goldfish. And imagine they get saved, because I can't imagine a believer doing that. But then they read that scripture. I mean, that'll hit them like a nail between the eyes. They'll be like, sure, repentance 101, that's me. Okay. But how much more, you know, our earthly fathers are Our Heavenly Father is perfect. He's perfect. We know how to give good gifts, but how much more our Heavenly Father? He is perfect. We are evil. Jesus said, no one is good. No one is good, none but one God. He's the only one who is good. And so that in itself, that, I mean, and that in most of our Bibles, that's in red when Jesus speaks. But that short phrase, no one is good but one God, that should bring a whole new meaning to the word good for us. If we get a revelation just of that, if we meditate just on that verse for a day, maybe we'll stop using the word good so much, find some other synonym, have a bit more respect for who God is and what He's doing. Okay, and so this morning, I just had a reminder that I'm not the best father, that I'm not a perfect father. See, it's this morning getting ready for church. I mean, I started getting ready with the kids at 5:30 this morning. Toddlers. And that's after having to sleep with them the night because they call for you in the middle of the night. So I decided just to survive these 4 days. So I just slept with them so I'd at least don't have to sort of in a dwell go back and forth in the middle of the night over the cold tiles, because it's cold. It's cold in our house at this time. And but it's not easy sleeping next to toddlers. They kick at night, and you know, and they've also had a little bit of colds and stuff like that. They're coughing in your face and stuff like that, and snot everywhere. So that's been my reality for the last few days. So welcome to my world. And and so we were up at 5:30 this morning getting them ready for church and me still having to do some things for church and everything. And then, I can't even remember exactly what it was. Oh, yeah, never mind though. But my son was naughty. And then he was kind of a bit rebellious and rude and that kind of thing. And he moved into the category of, I want a hiding. Okay, and I didn't have time for the whole drill, because it's like church is coming up, and the drill is, you know, bathroom and whatever, give him time to think about his actions, and give me time to cool down and stuff like that. And I wasn't a good father. I acknowledge tonight, I wasn't a good father this morning, because I disciplined him on the spot there, in my anger. I took my plucky. But, I gave him 3 of the best, but in my defense, it wasn't child abuse. On the bum, and you see, I've got big size 11 feet. Some shoes size 11 and a half. Okay, that's wider. And my plucky is pretty wide. You can water ski on my pluckies. Okay, a sloppy, a sandal thingy for the English speaking people. And so, with the backswing, you know, by the time it made contact with his rear quarters, with the wind resistance or the air resistance, it had slowed down dramatically because it's such a big thing. So it really wasn't very hard. It's more like the sound of it than whatever. So, but yeah, I just had a revelation. After that, I went to my room and I sat there and I'm like, God, you wouldn't have done it that way. And so then I went to my boy and I said sorry, and I gave him one of those gummy bear vitamins, and so then he was happy again. But yes, you know, the Lord, I know very well that I'm not the best. We've got an amazing, as fathers here, and I just want to say as well, congratulations and happy Father's Day to all the dads here. But it is an awesome responsibility, but we've got the best example in our Heavenly Father, how to be a father. And for me, that is, I think we maybe a step, you know, we get it easier because maybe we take longer to learn than the ladies, but we've got it a bit easier because we've got God as an example, and we can just go to the Word and ask the Lord and see and remind ourselves, how does the Lord treat His Son? How does the Lord treat His children in the Word and so on? And so that's really easy for me. And immediately I know when I'm kind of, you know, stepping out of line as a dad and whatever, and then I can come back to that. So I'm just grateful to God that I've got Him as my teacher and my example how to be a father, and He is the perfect father. He's what I aspire to, and so praise Him for that. But He is good. And another thing. So this morning, so now it's my turn to just take a shower, and the kids are they playing. Esther's busy playing on games on my phone. And she incidentally phoned some of the church members as well very early this morning. That's the danger with the phone, the games on the phone. And my son's playing with Lego, I think it was, inside. And I'm not in the shower for like 1 minute. And then I hear them going at each other again. And it's so funny, you know. And I just had a bit of a chuckle to myself after saying, you know, say sorry to your sister, and whatever. That part, you know, God, He's just the perfect dad because He never has to take a shower. And the Word says He never sleeps. He's always there. God is always there. You see, so we're not always going to be there, and so we can't even, I'm their father, but I'm not even always there to father them. That's a kind of a big dent. And that kind of already takes me some way away from being perfect. God doesn't have that problem. He's perfect and He's always there for us. And He wants to help and He can help. He is perfect and you can trust Him. He's always there. So there's no chaos because, you know, God has gone on leave of absence or something like that. Nothing like that. No, He's the perfect Father. He's always there for us. So we cannot begin to compare Him to any father that we know here on earth. It's beyond comparison. So often, and it's so true, and we say that so often, but it's true that we often project some experiences that we had with our earthly fathers onto how we think God will treat us. And that is not the truth. You want to know how God, who He is, what His thoughts are towards you, you need to spend time in the Word. This is how we'll come to know that. And so, the next scripture, James chapter 1, verse 17, every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. You see, God doesn't change. That's what immutable means. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His feelings towards you are unchanged from the day. You can go all the way back to when Jesus was crucified and he said, this is why this is happening. It's because I love you. And you can know. He demonstrated His love towards us once and for all time by sending His Son to die for us, to take our place, to receive our punishment. And God, His feelings towards us don't change. Otherwise, if it was even possible that His feelings towards us would change, He would not have sent His Son to die. He's not going to make a mistake like that. He's not going to be like, oh, Jesus, actually, you didn't need to go through with that because I've changed my mind about this lot. You know, I've given up on them. So I'm really sorry that you had to go through that. No, God doesn't make mistakes. And He doesn't change. And His heart towards you has never changed. God loves you. He's good. He's always with you. See, these are some foundational truths that stand as pillars in my faith and prevent me from ever backsliding beyond a certain point, knowing that God always loves me, God is always good, God is always with me. These things are almost like a roadmap in my mind and prevent me from getting confused around certain issues, or if I hear some fuzzy doctrine or something like that, you know, some of these pillars and of truth and you know, that really stand out for me, along with some others, will really help me, give me kind of a framework and help to color in who God is and who He is to me and in my life. And I want to encourage you to really trust God to reveal certain foundational attributes and truths about Himself to you that will also help to guide you and serve as a form of direction as well in your life and keep you from from getting snagged in some traps of the enemy. Because the enemy loves to, he'll love to try and confuse believers, and he'll try and it, if your salvation and your assurance of salvation can somehow be shaken, he'll try and shake that, you know. But he leaves you alone after he's tested you a few times, if he sees he's not going to get anywhere with you. Because these truths are embedded in your spirit. You know what, I want to just give you another tip to, why do these motivational speakers have their minions or their followers repeat certain things like, yes, 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 or looking in the mirror, you can, you can, you can. You know these motivational speakers? There's something powerful about the spoken word and about repetition. And when we say meditate on the word of God, yes, we're talking about taking a scripture and you're pondering on it, you're thinking about it, you know, through the day. You memorize it and you repeat it as well, and you say it out loud. It's powerful. I want to almost say it's more powerful reading the scripture out loud than just if you read it softly, like under your voice. And so when you repeat something like God is good, and even ask him, Lord, just really this week, show me what that means, that you are good. Lord, confirm that in my life. Lord, I'd love a few examples for myself. And you say it over and over. I want to challenge you. When you wake up this week, say, God is good. Say it first thing. When you go to bed at night this week, say, God is good. And say it out loud, and you can shout it if you want. And let that truth be embedded in your heart. Because you know what? The world is becoming a darker place, and we're going to feel it as well. Okay, the Lord, God is good across the board. He makes today's beautiful sunshine to shine on the just and the unjust. When believing farmers are praying for rain after a long season of drought, and it rains, most of the time it will rain on their farm and on the atheist neighbor's farm as well. God is good across the board. Everyone who's living and breathing, many of whom don't serve the Lord today, are living and breathing because the Lord created them, Lord gave them life. Many of them have jobs. The Lord gave them the ability to create wealth and to live a good life. They just don't give thanks to God for it. God's got a perfect plan for their salvation, and we hope that they submit their lives to him before the end, but that is between them and the Lord. Now, we need to know that God is good when the bad times come, because they will come. Trials and tribulations will come. That is a guarantee as a believer. Tick that box. Baptism of fire, I'm waiting. Baptism of suffering, the doctrine of suffering, not one that we talk about often, although it's come up a few times the last few weeks, but obviously the Lord is reminding us. Maybe there's some tough times lying ahead or maybe pending. It's not something we like to hear, but hey, it's better to be forewarned so that you can be forearmed. And what I want to say is this is one of the weapons that we have, a revelation, a knowledge, the word of God, but knowing that God is good. So, okay, Lord, that helps me in my thinking. That will help prevent me from losing my salvation. Knowing that this tough time is not from you, I won't be the one asking, Lord, why do you do this to me? Or, Lord, why do you let this happen if you say you are good? Let us not be ones to question God's character. Yes, he is good. But we have an enemy, and we're living in a broken world because we broke it through sin. And this is why we will also experience suffering. And even as believers, and for the sake of our faith, we'll experience suffering at some point, most likely, even in this nation, probably the time will come where it becomes more and more prevalent. Okay, so we mustn't be ignorant of this fact. Tough times opposed to God's goodness. Your circumstances do not change who God is. And do not try and interpret who God is through your circumstances. The Word tells us that we are to serve Him and worship Him regardless of our circumstances. Paul is an awesome example. someone who was stoned to death, brought back to life, and went straight back to the people that stoned him. And throughout, he praises God, rejoices. He says, these present sufferings cannot compare to the glory that will be revealed through us. And therein lies our hope, that we are heading for home. Where's your home? What is your permanent address? That is heaven. Number one, heaven. Okay. People will think you weird if you write that down. Trust me. The first people that I encountered after I had a powerful encounter with God after getting saved, I told them, my name is Soldier of God. And they just, you know, they locked me up for 2 weeks. And they'll do that for that kind of behavior. And I realized that, okay, I'm not of this world, but I'm still in this world. So let us just not be floating on cloud number 9 and be super spiritual, yeah? Yes, God's got a name for me and all of these things, but let's rather just show the people and not freak them out so much. Okay, so your address is heaven, and there's going to be no more suffering when you get there. There's going to be no more tears of sadness. There's going to be no more backbiting and jealousy and heartache and bitterness and offense and anger, anything like that. We're all going to be happy, clappy Christians. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be happy all the time and not just putting up a face on a Sunday. We're going to be like for real happy every moment for an eternity. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so great. And that's what we have to look forward to, each one of us as believers. That is our hope that we have in Christ. And we do not hope in vain because we've received the down payment already. We've received the Holy Spirit, the promise of God. It's our spirit that is going to go home to Him. Let me tell you, our bodies are decaying. Our bodies are not going up there from dust to dust. But our spirit is going there. I mean, trust me, when some of you haven't turned 30 yet, some of you have, and you'll identify. Some mornings, even as a 35-year-old, I wake up with an ache that I don't know where it's from, in a part of my body that I didn't know existed. Okay, so, yes, a daily reminder that life is short. Life is short. I just see my little kids growing up so quickly. I can't believe Christian's turning 4. Next month, and it's crazy. He's already like, he's going to be taller than me probably by next year. And he's growing up so quickly. And it's a reminder that, you know, trying to chase around after the toddlers and, oh, my back, and I just need to sit down now and please just play with your sister for a minute. And, you know, we're getting old. We're not going to live forever. So we got to make sure, you must seker maak jou saak is reg met die Here. You must make sure that your case is right with God. For the attorneys here, your life must be right with God. We have an opportunity tonight, later on, I'll give you that opportunity. If you realize, I don't know if my life is right with God, to make your life right with God. Another thing. We read there in James that every good and perfect gift is from God. In fact, God can only give good gifts. If you ask God for something, if it's going to hurt you, it's not going to be God giving it to you. The enemy might have heard you as well, and he can orchestrate things so that you get it, and you're like, oh, thank you, God. Guess what? God's not the only one that can see what's happening. Okay, the enemy can't read your thoughts. So maybe if you're wondering if something is a dangerous prayer or request, maybe you must pray that one silently to God. Okay. But the things that you shout out from the rooftops, the enemy can hear. He knows. And he might give you something that's bad for you. So don't blame it on God if something turns out bad. God will not give you something that will hurt you. As a father, and I'm an evil father, and I'm not saying that jokingly, but, you know, we are not compared to God. And I know that I'm not going to give, if my son asked me for a crossbow. And I'm thinking, well, it would be nice to do some target practice with him one day and whatever, maybe when he's 18. But he asked me for it. Trust me, your children will ask you for stuff that's completely age inappropriate, you know, while they're youngsters and whatever. But I'm not going to give him, he asked me for a crossbow, I'm not going to give him a crossbow now. Because it's going to be like, Esther, run! And he's going to be like, moving target, you know. And so, I'm not going to give it to him. And sometimes we like that with God, and then we wonder, why are we not getting this thing? Well, if God knows, if he can foresee that someone's going to get hurt here, he's not going to give it to you because he's a good father. I mean, I'm good enough to know that, so I'm not going to give my son a crossbow. But my son might want a crossbow with everything in his heart. You know, he wants that. He wants to be able to shoot stuff. He doesn't understand 100% yet, you know. And so, we need to make sure when we questioning God's character, when we're wondering, God, are you really good because you're not answering this prayer of mine, and why am I not getting this? We need to just actually say, Lord, I'm sorry for not trusting you. Lord, I know that you're good and you're going to give me what's best for me. And maybe I'm asking amiss. Or maybe it's for a later time. You know, a good thing at the wrong time equals a bad thing. Okay, so let us be patient. You know, sometimes I just have to tell my son, no, wait. You know, I'm teaching him already, you can't get everything you want. Every day he wants ice cream. Every day he wants a sweet. Every day. I'm saying, no, not today. Sorry. And you can't always get everything you want. We need to teach our children that because sometimes, you know, and hopefully we need to learn that as well if we haven't been taught that, that it's not always good to get everything you ask for. All right. I mean, they've done, that's very well known when it comes to lottery winners. And more often than not, they are worse off financially 3 years down the line after winning the lottery, even if they won millions. Up their standard of living, get into all kinds of debt, bank forecloses, boom, bad times. Okay, sometimes it depends. The timing has to be right and the character needs to be there, all of that. I don't want to assume or guess what, or, you know, why the reason is that you might not be getting your request granted, but trust in God. He knows what's best. And his timing is perfect. At the appointed time, he sent his son. I mean, we can read the Bible and say, but Lord, why didn't you actually send Jesus like 3,999 years earlier? And we could have actually had a much bigger New Testament, which is easier to read. And there would have been a lot less killing and all of these kind of things. You know, some of these questions will only be answered in heaven one day. But God knows what's best. Can you rest in that? That you can trust God and he knows what's best. Let us not second guess who is the clay to say to the potter, you know, why? I mean, compared to the potter, the clay ain't got no brains. You get my drift? Okay. So let us trust in God. Let us know he is good. Every good and perfect gift. He only gives good gifts. And so when it comes to things like when the Lord clearly says, you know, repent and be baptized. Or, you know, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, water baptism. And when he says, you know, you must, I'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. We see Paul asking the believers in Acts chapter 19, what baptism? And then he realized they were in John's baptism, baptize them again. But he first asked them, you know, have you received the Holy Spirit? They didn't even know the Holy Spirit. But they were believers, and they weren't as skeptical as we often are today. And on the spot, they got baptized, and they asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Paul could go on his way knowing that, okay, they're at least equipped now to change the world. I want you to know that it is Jesus that baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. We ask Jesus to baptize us in the Holy Spirit if you haven't yet. And I know this is something that people are sometimes hesitant with, but realize that when you ask Jesus for something, he's not going to give you something bad. He's going to give you something that's going to bless you out of your socks. And the Lord actually wants you to desire these things. He wants you to desire the gifts that He has for you. And so if you haven't been baptized or received the Holy Spirit yet, please know that you can do it with all liberty and freedom, knowing that what God wants to give you and deposit in your life is something awesome. And you can believe Him, you can trust Him. He only gives good gifts. He's a good Father. He's perfect. So we must desire the gifts. The same goes for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes as well, desire to prophesy. Desire the gifts, especially to prophesy. We must desire these gifts. You know, we don't see the gifts in operation every day. We don't even experience all the gifts in operation in our meetings and stuff every time. You know what? Because, A, many of us don't have the gifts because we haven't asked for the gifts. Or we've received the gifts, but by lack of usage, we've kind of lost it, given it away in a sense. God doesn't take anything back. The gifts of God are irrevocable. But we can kind of lose it, like you'd give your child a present and he loses it at a friend's house or at school and doesn't, you'd never see it again. We can lose it. I'm not going to take it back from my son. Same with God. We can lose these gifts as well. But you know what? God also doesn't want to give us gifts if we don't really want it or if we're not planning on using it. And I want to encourage you. God has gifts stored up for each of us. It's not just for some special Christians. It's for everyone. The whole church needs to start operating in the gifts and in the fullness of God if we're going to lead the world to Christ. We got that mission, is that job has to get done, and that's all of our jobs. And by the time we die, God's going to say, okay, well, the part of the job that you had to do, did you do it? And guess what? You cannot do that part of the job that needs to get done without the fullness, without all the gifts that God wants to give you. God's already blessed you with certain gifts when you were born. He gave you certain godly attributes and qualities like compassion or leadership or serving or mercy, all these kind of things. You've got the offices appointed by Jesus of pastor, apostle, prophet, teacher, and evangelist. And then you've got these 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, words of wisdom and knowledge, and prophecy, working of miracles, gifts of faith, gift of healings, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and discerning of spirits. You've got these 9 gifts. Do you know these gifts? What gifts do you have? Are you operating in these gifts? The world needs these gifts. Not so that you can be special. You're all special. We are all special. But it's because there are needs out there that God will only meet through the operation of these gifts through His people. Because God wants to know that God wants the world to know that He is the answer. And so He's not going to use just the medical field to help people. He's not going to use just the government to feed people and to bring them some form of good news or bless them in some way. He wants to use the church as His first answer for the problems in society and that we face in the world, and to help. Because you know what? When we do good things, God gets glorified. And what He's interested in is people coming to Him. That we seek His hand at His face rather, not His hand, but He will use us as His hands and feet to communicate His love. But we need to desire these gifts, you see. So first we need to understand these gifts, we need to learn about them, and then we need to desire them. We need to see, ooh, well, that will be pretty cool. You know, I actually know a few people that would benefit if God could use me in that way in their lives. They would benefit from a word from God, hey, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't benefit from receiving a prophecy from God when it is indeed from God? And we mustn't despise prophecy. We must test it, because not all of it will be accurate or right. But we mustn't despise it. We must welcome prophecy. But like with all of that, who that is sick will not be blessed by a healing? And you know, the gift of healing is actually plural. It's gift of healings. There's different. Some people get blessed with different gifts of healing. like some people almost like specialize in being able to pray for people with headaches and the headaches just go away. Now I've been blessed with that. My wife just comes to me when she's got a headache, and then, you know, so don't have to buy Panados and stuff like that. That's pretty awesome. Okay. But now my children's chestiness, that's, I pray for till I'm blue in the face. It's like, Lord, geez, this is not working. Okay. So I'm not blessed with that. So you got a bad chest, don't come to me to pray for you. But maybe there's someone else who's got that healing attribute here, that gift from the Lord. But we need to desire these gifts, because guess what? God does want to heal every sickness. And so he's waiting for the guy that needs to ask him for the gift of healing of bad chests. And I'm waiting for that guy as well. And I'm waiting that God shows me who that is. Okay, and then I'll call on that person, because it will save me 4 days of running around after the little ones. It's fun to spend time with them. I love that. But when you're 24/7 running after them, it gets tiring and it's difficult to do your work. Okay, so the world needs the church to come into the fullness of what God has for us. The world needs that. We need to desire the gifts. I want to challenge you. Desire the gifts, because God is good and he's a giver of good gifts. He's a giver of good things. And I know God wants you to hear this message tonight. I just experienced confirmation sitting here tonight of that. And so I know it's something that maybe some of us are not 100%, you know, sure of, or we may be questioning that sometimes. Maybe there's certain doubts, you know. Maybe that is true, but maybe it's true for you, but that's not been my experience. Well, let me tell you, that is a truth, and it's across the board. And maybe it's because of our, you know, we withdraw, and we hesitant, we reluctant. Maybe a bit of fear in that we actually prevent God, in a sense, from being able to shower us with every good thing that he wants to give us. Because he wants us to come to him and ask him for that gift and that blessing. He wants us to desire that. He loves to see us get excited about him. You know, I want to see when I give my son his gift. I mean, I know his face is going to light up before he even opens it. And what will be very sad is if he doesn't open it. And I mean, that's sometimes like us. And we ask God for something, and then we just leave it on the shelf there. It doesn't get used. And you know, that would break my heart. Because it's not just a gift. It's not just something from my hand. It's my heart is poured into that thing. Because I'm seeking the joy in my son. You know, I don't care so much about the playing that's going to happen with that thing. But I want to see his heart light up. I want to bring joy to him. And so God gives us something good that he wants to bless us with. And we put it aside. Well, there's a saying that says, reject the gift, reject the giver. And that's quite true. And you'll feel it. If you're giving someone a present and they don't appreciate it, or if you never see them use it, you paint someone this amazing multicolored painting and you give it to them as a gift. And you say, there's a perfect spot on your wall to hang it. And next time you come visit and it's not there, you'll feel some sense of rejection. It's not a good gift, though. People's taste in artwork differ. But you see, it's the heart behind it. It's the heart behind it. You know, I brought paintings from certain places for my wife, and because she was in art and everything. And now that painting's in the garage, but it's still there. And so I still feel a sense of, yes. You know, but yeah, it's not quite, you know, she's like, I'm not going to put that in my house. Okay, so, all right, that's fine. That's okay. Never mind. Just a little bit of rejection I had to work through there. Okay, so the last scripture I want to share. So it comes to this. You know God is good. You know he's got good things stored up for you. Well, we need to ask. Keep asking, it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Sometimes it's a case of we have not because we ask not. We mustn't live this expression, oop deure, toe deure, open doors, closed doors. It's like, I'm just going to carry on with my life, you know, kind of do what I want, and if these good things happen to me, then that's from God, and if nothing happens to me, then God didn't want that to happen to me. No. God wants relationship with us, firstly. There ain't no relationship without communication. We need to talk to Him. We need to wait on Him for the answer. And He invites us over and over in the Scriptures, in the Psalms. You know, you see David's prayers to God. And they're not just shooting up. They're not just klein skietgebekies. You know, he really pleads with God sometimes. And he asks God. And it's, I mean, he wrote a lot of Psalms there that feature thee. Okay, and so, and I know he must have written a lot more. But we need to ask, and we need to keep asking. I want to encourage you in that. Don't think because you've asked once and you didn't get an answer or you didn't get what you asked for that God necessarily doesn't want to give it to you. Keep asking. You know, God, what He wants is relationship. If this thing is the only thing that you've been talking to God about the last while, maybe He's just enjoying your company and He wants you to come asking Him again because He's just excited to hear from you and to see you and to have another opportunity maybe to get a word in because you ain't giving Him much time to talk. Keep asking. Keep searching. Keep knocking. As I said, sometimes our timing is way off. You can trust God. You can trust Him to know what's best. Sometimes His silence on the matter is because He's already given you an answer. But hey, sometimes we can be stubborn, eh? I mean, I know with my children, it's a daily lesson in humility and also kind of enriching for my faith as well. And makes me consider my relationship with God and how I deal with God. If I consider how my children make requests of me and so on. You know, and I mean, I can tell them no. And guess what? He keeps asking. It's my son. Now, oh, my daughter's the same. The youngest just can't speak yet, but I'm expecting the same from him. Oh, my daughter's funny. I just have to, I spark this never-ending conversation with two words. If I look at her and I say, no me. Then she's like, no me. And then I'm like, no me. And then she's like, no me. And it carries on and on. But anyway, here's the point, is that they can continue and continue. They ask you for something, you say no, and they ask you again, and they keep asking you, no, my answer's still no, no, no. You know, it's like they just don't get it. And you know what? I think that's a lesson. It's like, I think we're the same with God sometimes. And we keep asking, we keep like hitting our head against this wall. And God's like, no, that is not going to be good for you. I'm not going to, why don't you ask for something else? Ask for the thing next to it, because that's actually what I want to give to you. And we're like, no, I want that one. I want a red one, because He's got a red one. Come on. Let us inquire of God, maybe. Firstly, Lord, what do You want to give me? Do you know? Do you know what God has in store for you? Do you know what He wants to give you? Because guess what? You haven't received everything yet that God wants to give you. Do you know what the other things are that God wants to give you? Okay. I'm not just talking material things. I'm talking more spiritual gifts, character traits, relationships, family, healings and miracles and missions and church, all of these kind of things. The things that are of eternal value. These are the things that ought to be at the top of our list of requests. And do we know what God has in store for us? Let us ask Him first before we start shooting from the hip and saying, Lord, I want that and I want that and that looks so cool and I want what He's got. Well, God's more creative than giving us all the same thing. And let us not compare to one another. So let us ask of the Lord. You know, it's so funny. I've seen it now a few times there. You know, I'm from Tableview. Tableview is a bit of a different place. It's a nice place to live. It's really great. But we've got some interesting characters over there. And there's this guy with a... I hope he's not here. No, I don't think he's here. If it is, I love it. I love it. So he's got a Mazda RX-8. It's quite a nice, you know, it's a smart Mazda rotary engine and all of these. Sporty car. But he obviously, maybe he couldn't afford the one that he really wanted. And, you know, I think that's so cool, you know. Enjoy. We need to learn to be content. We need to enjoy what God gives us. Because when we actually make peace with that, then that's going to be the best thing ever. Stop desiring something else. You know, the Lord had to tell his people, it's in the Ten Commandments, don't covet your neighbor's donkey. You know, it's right there. Don't covet the stuff of the people around you. You know, so often we like, you get something and it's like the next thing, oh, S4. You know, I just got the S3, now there's an S4, you know, and I want that. That is never going to end. You're never going to be satisfied. If you're looking to worldly things to satisfy you, guess what? You're never going to be satisfied because they're always going to bring out a newer, shinier model. And at some point, you're just not going to be able to keep up with the Joneses. So let us stop comparing and stop just submitting to the world system and just let's be happy with what we got. The Lord said, with food and clothing, we should be happy. And we're so much more wealthy than that. We must count our blessings and just go forth and be joyous and spread the word of God. We always want the next thing. So this guy has got his Mazda RX-8. And I can see he loves that car because he's pulling into Bayside Mall under roof parking and he's revving that car. Vroom, vroom, and he goes around and he comes around a second time. And then he parks in front of the mall and he leaves his LED lights that he put on extra. He leaves them on while he goes in. On the back of his Mazda, he put with like sort of cut mirror that he stuck on the name Maserati. That's a classic. Maybe that was what he was trusting for. But he got his Maserati right there. And so be happy with your Maserati. And stop praying for a Maserati, okay? You know, it's a whole lot cheaper. Just praise God for that. Yo, will you stand with me tonight? We're just going to pray together. If I can maybe have Andrew... someone on a stringed instrument. Just the word tells us that he who did not withhold his own son, how much more won't he give with that? Every good thing. God gave us his best already. Let us not doubt in his goodness tonight. You know, sometimes your circumstances play havoc with your faith and bring certain things into question. I pray that from tonight that it's more and more we'll be able to hold on to this truth, that it will become embedded in our spirit. God is good. There's so much liberty in that when we can know that. There's a liberty to go to him in the tough times when you know that. If you question that, you're probably not going to go to him straight away when the chips are down. He might be one of your options and certainly not the first one. When you know that God is good, you'll run to him first every time. I want to tell you tonight, you can trust him with your life. Because he gave his life for you. Greater love is no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. It's what Jesus did for us. You can trust Him. God is good. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord God, that Your Word has taught us that You are good. Our experience has confirmed to us over and over, You are good. But Lord, You know that we also have experienced many hardships. And the world around us, Lord, is, Lord, in a state of decay and chaos very often. And so, Lord, somehow that truth that You are good, somehow in our minds it gets tarnished, Lord. And maybe sometimes we're not so sure. But Lord, we ask that tonight You'll come in, just reestablish that truth in our hearts. Lord, without Your help, Lord, we cannot grow, we cannot do anything. And so we need Your help here as well, Lord, we need Your help and Your strength to know this, Lord. We want to believe it, we want to know it, that You are good. Lord, thank You that You know our lives here tonight. Thank You that You know every challenge that we've been through, every tear that we've cried, Lord, that You know what we are going through right now. You know the things that we are trusting You for right now. You know the things that we have not asked You for, Lord, because we don't even know if You can make a difference there. You know the things that we've held back from You. You know our hesitation in coming to You because of our experiences with our earthly dads and how we sometimes just project that onto You, but You are not like them, Lord. You have no equal. You have no comparison, Lord. You are good. You are perfect. You are always there for us. Your thoughts, Your feelings, Your heart towards us has never changed. You love us, Lord. You never turn away from us, Lord. With You, there is no shadow of turning. You do not hide Yourself from us, Lord. You are near to each of us, Lord. But Lord, You also don't force Yourself on us. You've given us the choice. And Lord, if we're feeling far from You tonight, it's because we've walked away, not because You've left. Like a son leaving the father's house, sometimes that is us, Lord, walking away from You. But You are still there and You're waiting for us, Lord. You're waiting for those people tonight to return. Thank You, Lord, that we have the parable of the prodigal son, that we can know, Lord, that as we turn to You, as we reject every other option and opportunity and put our faith in You once more and turn to You, Lord, that You come running to us. You want to embrace us. You want to wrap Your arms around us and kiss us and love us. I pray, Lord, for a turning of hearts tonight. I pray, Lord, for hearts to turn to You tonight. In Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed. I want to make an invitation tonight. Firstly, if you've maybe struggled in the last while, or maybe you've never come to that place where you can confidently declare without any doubt that God is good. You've doubted or been a bit confused about His goodness. I want to invite you to come forward. I want to pray with you. I want to trust God to embed that truth, which will change your life. I want to ask Him to embed that truth in your heart, that He is good. So I know there's some people here that have had some confusion around that, some doubts, especially with your circumstances being so hard. And you've wondered, God, are you really good? Or if you are really good, are you good to me as well? I invite you, come forward now. Come forward. I want to pray with you. Then there's another group of people. The word says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. You're hardly going to go to Him if you don't think that He's going to receive you. And if His heart is going to be for you, you're not going to go to Him. And in order to repent, you need to be with Him. And so it's His goodness that opens up the way for you to go to Him and to repent. And I want to encourage you tonight. God is inviting you. He's saying to you, He's good. You can trust Him. You can come to Him and be forgiven of your sin and be delivered from those iniquities and those patterns that we fall into. And if you've got sin that's tripping you up time and again, you've got certain things that you want to confess to the Lord, but you've kind of put it out your mind, or you've not quite sure what He's going to do with that. I want to tell you tonight, He's good. And He's waiting for you. And He just wants to embrace you and forgive you and give you the power to overcome that thing. He wants to set you free from that guilt that you've been experiencing, and that where you've just had to kind of keep your distance. Well, He's good, and He's inviting you to come to Him. He's giving you the opportunity to make a change of heart, a change of mind, to turn 180 and walk in a new way, following Him. Okay, so that's the second group. I want you to come forward. Love to pray with you, and we'll have some facilitators praying with you as well. We're not going to assume what you want prayer for. You facilitator will just ask you, what can I pray with you for? And they'll just agree with you in prayer. And I want to say that's powerful. When we respond, the word says respond to Him while He's near. That's a powerful thing. You want something embedded in your heart. You want a word that you receive to stay there. You want the fruit that comes from that. Respond to the Lord. Because the enemy loves to steal that thing as soon as we step out the door. Okay, so that was the second group. And then, finally also, I want to encourage you, if you have not given your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you, I want to pray with you. If you would like to give your life to the Lord, if you want to make right with God, if you want to receive Him tonight as your adopted father, you can do that here tonight. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to introduce you to your Heavenly Father, the one that you are destined to be with for an eternity. We only have this life to make that decision. And I want to encourage you, take that bold step. Okay, so we're going to just, if we can maybe worship a song together. And as we're worshiping, I just want to invite you to come forward. If you have any kind of prayer, if you want to respond to any of those invitations, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. And so we're just going to be worshiping up front, and we're going to be praying with you. If you're not able to hang around, please have a blessed long weekend. I'm sure there's something nice to eat and drink in the hall down the passage. Be blessed. Thank you for your time tonight. It's been great being with you. Thanks.